Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
What an opening riff. What a show. It's the Cheltenham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and we're going into the Valley, of course. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Martin Adkins, Paul Sullivan, and Robert Sullivan of the SE7 pod. It's a family affair this week on the Cheltenham Fan Show, and I hear you all had a very busy week in my absence.
Big time, yes. We spent the whole weekend down at Plymouth. We went very early Friday morning. It felt like just straight after the show. And we got down there early afternoon, pouring rain, but we sought shelter and we had a lovely cream tea, didn't we, Rob?
Lovely cream tea. Great way to start the weekend.
Big question. Jam on first, cream on first. There is a right answer and there's a wrong answer.
I was discussing this with Kevin Nolan of the South London Press, as you do when you're getting on the coach to
Wickham. Very civilised.
Very
totally civilised,
yes. I did both. I sort of experimented.
Paul.
But I think, is it... jam first, then cream.
I think that's how most people do it. I prefer cream.
I'm a cream.
I'll
first
go for
man.
Cream. Yeah.
Our producer Josh is nodding. And is also doing hand signs, showing how he'd do the cream, how he'd do the jam. So we're all very invested. The other big question, of course, before we move on to talk about the actual football, is how you say the word scone.
Scone.
Scone or scone.
Scone or scone.
I'd go scone.
You'd be wrong.
Scone, isn't it?
Right, okay. Is that how the West Country people say it's gone?
I think they scone. Say scone.
I say okay. Scone.
And of course, what is the quickest baked good?
Go on.
Scone. And even with me. That in mind...
That's a cracker.
That's a terrible is what that is. It's two wins to look back on.
Yes.
It wasn't just the cream teas in Plymouth. It was two goals, a clean sheet, and a 1-0 win over Wickham. A fantastic week for the Addicts.
Can't go wrong. 6 points, two more clean sheets. It wasn't easy down at Home Park. Beautiful setting, by the way, in the park there. Plymouth were very competent on the ball, first sort of 15 minutes, half an hour. But there was a massive turning point, wasn't there? A turning point, Rob?
Yes, I thought the first half an hour they were the better team, in my opinion. And I think the penalty save really turned the game. Phillips... great save where he got his leg to get up that high, because he pretty much, Mark was saying before we came in, he dived past it, and I feared the worst. And from that, on 1 minute 38 seconds later, we're down the other end and Taylor's put it in the back of the net. Beautiful first time ball from Solly, and great header past the keeper, and we're 1-0 up. And I think we didn't look back from that point onwards, really. Yeah. I think we got to half time and... second half did a total number on them and very professional.
Well, we don't look like conceding goals at the moment, do we? So, you know, that's, what, 431 minutes now without conceding the goal. So, you know, if once we get in front, you know, teams are going to find it tough to break us down.
And it's been wonderful goalkeeping. Sorry, Paul. In both games.
Yeah.
Just staggeringly good.
Yeah.
Not just penalties.
Yes, indeed. I mean, Phillips was called upon a few times in that first half, particularly. I think he saved from... there was a beautiful save, wasn't there, from Graham Carey, which he tipped over. But the referee, Charles Breakspear, gave a goal kick. Carey was going absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, he was appalling, that ref.
He was.
In my opinion.
I mean, what happened, Johnny? There were just so many bookings, particularly for our back line, and we were running the risk of getting a man sent off. Was there any bookings?
No, he booked five of ours.
Yeah.
They were all fouls, granted, but I didn't think maybe two of them were bookings, and then you're treading the tightrope from that point on. But the guy who took the shot that Phillips tipped over,
Carey, yeah,
then went over and pretty much manhandled the ref, protesting why he didn't get a corner, but he didn't do anything to the Plymouth fella. So yeah, it was quite sort of dodgy times with those bookings. It was,
yeah, we were a bit worried at that point, because Plymouth basically controlled the first half, and as Derek Adams, the Plymouth manager, said, you know, we look like the playoff side, not Charlton. But the catalyst was that penalty save. We got the goal. Cullen also played a good part in that goal, by the way, with a 1-2 with Solly from the throw. Great cross. And the three goals that we scored, including the Wickham, all crosses, all balls coming in.
Yeah. And from the right as well.
And that's been a complaint of ours, hasn't it? Because we haven't been getting the deliveries in. And it was so great to see Johnny Williams get an assist.
Yep. Yeah, so, really good.
Yeah. So we just took up the mantle then in the second half, and we controlled the game. So we ran out easy 2-0 winners. And when we were 2-0 up, I just thought there's no way we're going to concede here because of our wonderful solid defence. So, yeah, we went up the M. Well, I didn't, because we went back to the Hyde Park Social Club with Robert. But
right, and we need to talk about this, Paul, because I was going to say it was successful on the pitch, successful off it. I've been hearing rumours of frivolity, of enjoyment post-match.
Unbelievable.
What was going on, Martin?
Well, the boys sent me a video afterwards of their post-match musing sat on the Plymouth Hoe. They'd obviously
that's
invite...
That's a place, that's not
yes,
some kind
yes,
of awful
no,
slur.
No, not some woman, yeah. Yeah, so they'd obviously had a few light hours while they were after the game, and it was quite funny. So I have put it on YouTube. So look on our look on our Twitter page, SE7 Pod, and you'll find it on there. It's very amusing.
Yeah, 3 minutes of absolute nonsense ramblings about the game. Really good camera work by my father as well. He didn't know what he was doing.
Makes exactly. Change worse to an me. Hour though of nonsense ramblings, which is what we normally produce.
Well, I wouldn't say that, John.
No,
come on.
No,
I
mean, you've been
certainly from that side of the desk. There's
it's nonsense from this end.
Professionalism coming through.
No, yeah. Nonsense always. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Was it a safe journey back as well?
Yeah, we had to get up very early. We had a hearty breakfast at a wonderful guest house. Can I give him a plug?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, the Edgecombe Guest House. I've been going down there for many, many years, and it's right on the Hoe. It's a beautiful spot. And if anyone ever wants to stay in that area again, I'd recommend the Edgecombe Guest House. Carla will look after you with a hearty breakfast.
I'm sure there are lots of other good ones there as well. And I can confirm that our producer, Josh, has just laughed at the word Hoe. So we're going to move on very quickly. And he is utterly in disgrace. We will, of course, be bringing you updates from the Europa League and the Masters Golf this evening. There's been another goal in Benfica versus Frankfurt. It is 3-1 to Benfica. They're looking comfortable, particularly given Frankfurt are down to 10 men. Across the rest of the ties, it's Arsenal 2, Napoli 0. Really convincing there at the Emirates. And Slavia Prague 0, Chelsea 0. The Blues still struggling to break the Czech side down. Villarreal 1, Valencia 1. And a quick Masters update for you. At the top of the table, Tiger is still up there looking to make history. It's Harding, Scott, Woodland, Rahm, Kizaya, and oh no, has Woods slipped. He has slipped. He's just literally slipped. As I said it, he's now 2 under, 17 through, and top of the table is Kizaya, Rahm, Woodland, Scott, and Harding, all 3 under. Disappointing stuff, but McIlroy is climbing up that table as well. He is 1 under, 16 through. Coming up, we have got a wonderful guest. We're slowly working our way through the Charlton squad. We're going to have all of them on by the end of the year because this week, having had Lyle Taylor, it is Charlton midfielder Jake Forster-Caskey. He'll be talking to us in just a moment, talking injury, returns and, of course, Charlton.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Martin Adkins, Paul Sullivan and Robert Sullivan of the SE7 Pod. And I'm delighted to say that we're also joined on the line by Charlton midfielder Jake Forster-Caskey. Jake, evening. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Must have been so hard for you to take. You're all geared up for a League One season and you get injured just before you kick off.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Yeah, it was tough. I'd obviously answered this question many times, but, you know, I've said a lot of times now that you have to sort of get over it quickly, and I've done that. I'm back in training now, so I've got a smile back on my face.
And, Jake, I don't know if you remember this, but you absolutely slaughtered me when you were last on, and deservedly so, when I inquired about your patient qualities, being a fellow Taurian. Birthday on the 25th of April. How did it go after we spoke to you? Did it get any better or has it been a real hard slog?
No, to be honest with you, it's like I said, after a few days, I've sort of got my head down and it's not been easy, obviously, but, you know, I'm past the hard stage where you've got to watch everybody train and you're in the gym on your own and I'm outside and I'm back with the boys. So, I can join in with the banter and hopefully look to get a game soon.
I've followed your recovery on Instagram. You put a few videos up over the last few months and one of the lads put one up you doing the pull-ups on the bars and called you the beast. You know, so how much does the mental strength involved in coming back from an injury like that?
Yeah, to be honest, I do think you have to be pretty mentally strong to get through something like this, and because it's not easy when you see the other boys going out every single day and you're looking through a window. It is quite tough sometimes, but we all love playing football, and it's easy to get your head down and sorry about that, and work hard because you want to go and play the sport that you love. So in some ways that makes it a lot easier, and I'm just happy that I'm back out there and doing what I love to do, which is obviously playing football.
And Jake, I know that's a very bad injury you picked up, and it's one of those really tough ones to come back from, and you've done so well so far. What's the sort of next steps in terms of phasing you back in? How does it kind of work, just for the average football fan not knowing too much about it, when you get an injury like this? How do they sort of, what's the kind of next move, steps for yourself? I know you're training with the lads again. What sort of happens from now on in?
Yeah, well, the first week was about 3 weeks ago. I just joined in, and basically no one can touch you, so you...
Is that because you're too good for them, Jake, or are they not allowed?
No, they used to not be able to touch me, but now they can. now, obviously, they can't. It's non-contact, so they can't touch you. And you're just doing it, and you try to get to grips with everybody running around you and being close to people again. And then after a week or so of that, you're in full contact, which I'm in now. And basically, when you feel comfortable, you go into a reserve game. You normally start off 45 minutes or half an hour. And there's one on Tuesday at home to Burnley, which at the moment is my plan. Play 45 minutes in that, and then after that it's how quickly you can really get up to speed with the boys, because it's not easy when they're fit as anything and you're trying to come back and you're not used to it. But the last few days I felt all right, to be honest. I feel like I'm getting back to my old self again, so it's interesting with the timing as well of the season.
So, I mean, at this point, have you got any sort of target in your mind? I mean, is it conceivable that you might play in May if called upon, if we are in those playoffs?
I've obviously been asked this a few times, and I don't want to put too much pressure on myself, but I'm a professional and I'm very competitive. So even with things like my recovery and my rehab, I've sort of been that way. So, of course, I've got one eye on trying to be involved before the end of the season, and then who knows what can happen if we're in the playoffs. But the way the boys are going, we could obviously do it before then. So
exactly,
you know, hopefully, in some ways for me, the boys are in the playoffs, and then hopefully I can be involved and help the team. But obviously everybody wants the club to get promoted, and the easiest way is obviously the top two.
Yeah, and Jake, on that note, just in terms of the form recently for the lads, it's been superb. It's been great to watch as a fan. I can see there's a real buzz around the place in terms of the team spirit and the momentum. Can you see a real kind of confidence in that team now at the moment? I know, obviously, not being involved on the pitch, but just in terms of being around the club and being around the lads and sort of being with them, can you see a real kind of confidence in them now? What's the atmosphere like in the sort of the club, so to speak?
Yeah, it's obviously it's very high at the moment. I think we've got quite a few young players, and they're all sort of hitting their peak at the right time. They're doing really well this season, and Bowes and Jacko have done a brilliant job. I think they've set us up near enough in every game in the best way possible. And to be honest with you, watching as a fan, we look really good. Especially when we're at home, we look like a real force, and we look like we've got a lot of goals in us. And obviously, we're very, very good at the back. So, you know, we're a real team. Even if it goes into the playoffs, I'm very confident that we will come out on top.
Obviously, a lot of that success, Jake, is down to the boss, Lee Bowyer. We've had some positive news from him today. He said he's talked to Lee and the Turkeys, described those conversations as positive. Do you think he'll still be the manager come next year?
Obviously, I don't know about that, and I don't know what he's thinking in his head. But you know, I think I'm speaking for all the boys that we'd love to see Bowes and Jacko carry on, because they've done such a good job since taking over. Their win rate must be pretty high, and you know, obviously this year I haven't been involved in the games, but obviously when he took over last year, I've only got positive things to say about him, and he's been good to me whilst I've been injured too. So, you know, for everybody, even the fans' sake, I'd love to come back and help out any way I can.
And Jake, obviously Lee has employed this diamond system for much of the season. Have you had much experience of this formation, either at Charlton or at previous clubs? And if so, what area do you favour in it?
To be honest, I've played a few times in a diamond, but I can play almost every one of them. So for a midfielder, it's brilliant that we're playing a diamond, because it means you can play in every spot. For Brighton, I've played quite a number of games in number 10, but I would say I'm a number 8, so any of the sort of bottom three, as you like, I could play in. So, like I said before, if I can do anything to help the team, that would be brilliant, because anything will be a bonus. Because obviously, at the start of the year, they told me I wasn't going to be involved at all. So to get to the stage I'm at now, the way I see things, if I can help out in any way, then I'll be delighted.
Yeah, due to your fast progress, Jake, I mean, do you think one of the contributory factors was the fact that when you got this injury, you obviously had done a full pre-season, but that's ironically sort of helped you recover a lot quicker because you're so much fitter. Do you think that played a part?
No, because obviously when players obviously do this injury, that's normally when they're playing, so in games, and I know it does happen in training, but... No, I don't think, to be honest, I just think you've just got to get your head into the rehab and just do everything possible. And I was lucky to have good people around me. My stepdad, unfortunately, did a couple of these. And he told me numerous times that you can't rehab twice. So I remember peeing on the bike a lot of the times, just thinking, you've got to do it properly. And I think it's down to... obviously the staff at the club, and I went to a rehab centre, which helped me a lot as well.
When I put this out that you were coming on tonight, Jake, on a couple of Facebook pages, Charlton fan one, to a man, most of the fans were coming on, fantastic, glad you're coming on. Most of them, all the same question, have they offered you a new contract yet?
I get asked that I bet you do, a lot. Sorry, but... Yeah, it's the same answer every time. Yeah. I've not heard anything, And to be honest, I've got no decision to make because obviously no one's spoke to me or offered me a contract. So at the moment, I'm a Charlton player and I'll do everything. I think everybody knows that since I've been at the club, I've put 110% into doing well for Charlton, and I'll carry on doing that until the day they tell me that they don't want me no more. Obviously, I'd love to carry on my time at Charlton, but as it stands... I think me and quite a lot of players, we haven't really got a decision to make.
Well, Jake, all of us here at the Charlton Fan Show are hoping you are still a Charlton player next season. We'd love to see you at the Valley. And we've loved, of course, talking to you. Thanks ever so much for sparing us the time. It's Jake Forster-Caskey there, who is current Charlton midfielder. Great to get his thoughts on things. While we were talking to him, some goals have been flying in the Europa League, not least for Benfica, who are now 4-1 up against the 10 men of Frankfurt. Hal Felix, who's long been rated as this really exciting young Portuguese talent, has a hat-trick and an assist. He's running the show. He looks like the real deal. Could we see him in England before long? The other scores, Arsenal still 2-0 up against Napoli at the Emirates. Really impressive stuff. A laboured Chelsea 0-0 away at Slavia Prague. 67 minutes played there. And it's Villarreal 1, Valencia 1 in the other tie. And a quick update for you from the Masters, because we've got golf going on as well. And the latest there is... still Tiger Woods off the top. He's 2 under, 17 through at the top. It is now Harding and Scott, who have, of course, both finished. They're 3 under. They're tying currently at the top of that leaderboard with John Rahm and Patton Kizzire, who are 3 under, 17 and 16 through, respectively. We will, of course, also check in quickly on some British talents. Ian Poulter is 1 under, 11 through. And the latest on Rory McIlroy is that he is back on evens. He's on par 17 through, so he slipped slightly since we last checked in. Charlton aren't slipping. Clean sheets, goals, 3 points aplenty. And coming up, we'll be discussing is automatic promotion.
This is Love Sport.
Promotion. It's the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Martin Adkins, Paul Sullivan and Robert Sullivan of the SE7 pod. We've touched on that excellent 2-0 win over Plymouth, but it's not the only win that the Addicts have managed to rack up in the last week or so. They also battled past Wickham, a 1-0 victory there, and another 3 points.
Yes, and this was a completely different game altogether. I thought Lee Bowyer pulled a masterstroke when he announced the changes. Jason Pearce, George Lapsley and Darren Prattley. And it matched up well against the physical threat that Wickham offered.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Jason Pearce was always ironed on to come back in anyway against Akin Fenwar because they had a right good ding-dong in the 3-2 game back at the Valley, didn't they? So he was always going to come back in. And then we needed the dogs of war in midfield with George Lapsley, Darren Prattley. And that's exactly what they did on the night. They put their foot in, they chased, they harried, they didn't give any time on the ball. And I thought, especially George Lapsley, I thought he had a brilliant game for the whole... Well, he weren't on for the 90 minutes, was he? He got substituted. But
yeah,
I thought he played really well.
I mean, the game itself, I mean, it was frenetic from start to finish.
It was.
It was very lively. Got to the point after about half an hour or so where I turned to my brother and we just thought it just needed a bit of quality, a bit of skill, an end product. And who'd have thought Mr. Pearce would come
Mr.
up
Pearce,
and volley
cracking,
it in?
Cracking finish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and then I've got to give my hats off as well to, I thought Igor and Lyle Taylor's work rate on the night was fantastic
definitely.
As well. They chased and harried as well from the front. And as they always say, a good team always defends from the front, don't they? And we're proving that at the moment.
And of course, another hero was Dylan. I mean, he's done
he's
it in going both.
From, he's going from strength to strength, the boy, isn't he?
It's incredible. I mean, just the stats alone. I mean, he's only conceded 8 goals in
2019.
Yeah. In about 16
really?
Matches.
I think so. Oh, yeah.
Must be. Just tremendous. He must be exuding confidence. And he pulled out some very good saves again on Tuesday night. But yeah, it was a backs to the wall. I mean, Wickham can be very proud of themselves and moving forward from their point of view.
Yeah.
And Plymouth as well. I mean, the two teams we've played, there shouldn't be any problems. They're good footballing sides and they've got a lot to offer.
You can certainly see why QPR would be interested in Ainsworth. It obviously is an ex-player of QPR's, but you know, the way he's managed that team and that squad, you know, they're a tough team to play.
If you're Ainsworth, I don't think you touch that foot.
That
job with a 12-foot barge pole, unless he loves the club really so much that he's willing to sacrifice his own career to go there, because I suspect that's what it would be. 6 points, 3 points for each game in a week. Is automatic promotion now on the cards?
Well, you know my stance on this. I've been saying it for weeks. I'm driving my mates mad on WhatsApp. They keep going at me, what are you talking about? It's not happening. And I've been saying it for literally past 6-8 weeks. Second place is still on. Sunderland will have a blip. Barnsley will have a blip. We are in there with the fight.
Robert's got a theory, haven't you?
My heart says yes.
Absolutely.
My head, unfortunately, Mark. I'll tell you why. I think Luton, they've only got to get 5 more points to mathematically get more points than we can this season. Sunderland, the last 6 games, they've got to lose 3. Or draw 4 and win 2, and we've got to win all that game. That's doable, but remember, Sunderland have only lost 2 games all season.
But they've still got to play Portsmouth, Peterborough, Doncaster.
Yep, that's true. So we're looking at, you never know. I mean, I think, personally, I do believe we can win our remaining 5, end up on 91 points, but I think that may just take us to 3rd, which would be pretty amazing to finish on 91 points and finish 3rd.
I am 3rd. With you.
Yeah,
my
no,
heart is on there and head. And, being sensible, it's probably just a little bit beyond us, but I still think we can.
But if you're a Sunderland player or fan, you know that Charlton are coming up behind you.
All
so the pressure on, and as you get towards the end of this season, it becomes a different mindset, doesn't it?
Well, let's look. There's no pressure on us.
No.
No one's expecting us to get in that second position. So I think come Saturday, we win Saturday, everyone's got to take it seriously, I think.
Yep.
And they'll be taking you seriously regardless of whether you get into those top 2 places, because actually the form is there, the defence is there, the goals are there from Lyle. So in the playoffs, even if that is where Charlton end up, they will be a fearsome team. No one is going to want to face Charlton, not least even Luton, who are of course top of the table and the next opposition. We'll be turning our attentions to that game very, very soon. Just before that, a quick update from around Europe. Arsenal 2, Napoli 0, Benfica 4, the 10 men of Frankfurt 1, Slavia Prague 0, Chelsea 0. If you can hear glee in my voice, that's because I'm absolutely loving that scoreline. And Villarreal 1, Valencia 0. A quick update as well from the Masters. Harding, Scott, Rahm and Keziah are top. They're all three under. Three of those four have finished the first round. Only Keziah is still going and he's 17 through. Tiger is one under that. He's finished and is two under. And various other people. Poulter is one under and Rory McIlroy is even 17 through. But for any of those players who feel like they've started badly and it's game over, that's not necessarily the case. Paul Casey may be five over. Spieth may be three over. But Craig Stadler fired a 75 in the first round in 1982 and he ended up winning the whole thing. So it could still be there for anybody. Coming up, it's time to turn our attentions firmly to Luton and it's the opposition view. We'll be talking to Luke Gregory, who's a Luton fan, and hearing how they're going to get on against Charlton.
This is Love Sport.
That's right, it's that time in the show where we turn our attentions to Charlton's next opponents. Coming up, it's a tough one, lads. Top of the table, Luton Town. I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by Luke Gregory, who is a Luton fan. Evening, Luke. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Charlton are top of the form table in League One, even sitting at the top of the real thing. Are you a bit scared?
You know, I think a lot of Luton fans are quite realistic about how this season's gone, and I feel like a lot of us would actually take a draw at the weekend. So we know it's our toughest game of the running, and other teams are going to hope that we can slip up. So I think a draw this weekend would be successful for Luton.
Yeah, I think possibly Charlton might be taking heart from certain results that you've had recently. Obviously, this great 28-match unbeaten run, but I'm just sort of looking at little chinks here. Obviously, you had the draw against Blackpool at home and Gillingham going back. Then there was a draw at Home Park Plymouth. And also Bristol Rovers gave you a bit of a game in that second half. And that showed the defensive qualities of Luton, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And with the two home fixtures, it was the Gillingham game. It was a freak equaliser. It was like a free kick from 30 yards. You know, another day that hits the wall, just flies over the bar. And then the Blackpool game, we're playing the last half an hour with 10 men and still nearly won it in the end. So I feel like, despite them home draws, it's still just been a tad unlucky. But the away win at Bristol Rovers was great. The draw at Plymouth, you know, I think that's not a bad result, going to Plymouth on a bit of form. So I feel like, despite them draws, we're still looking good.
So with our lack of goals being conceded in our defence, and obviously you got Danny Collins is out at the weekend. Or James Collins, so isn't it? James, yeah. Yep. James Collins is out at the weekend. How big of a miss is he going to be?
Well, we've got great strength and depth, and we played Doncaster the other day when he was on an Ireland call-up, and we smashed him 4-0 with our top goal scorer. And that's what I love about Luton this year is one of our players can be gone, and we've got the strength and depth to fill that. So I honestly don't think Collins will be that much of a miss. If anything, it could be a bit of a blessing in disguise because it brings in someone with a bit more pace up front to partner maybe someone like Danny Hilton if he's fit to really try and hurt Charlton, which is what we're going to need to do.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think it's been a great season actually for Luton, and fair play to them. I think they've taken the division by storm and done a really good job. They look like a decent side. I remember going back to the game at Kenilworth Road we played you earlier in the season, my first ever visit there. It was great to see someone's back garden in the away stand. That was a special moment.
I bet they were delighted.
Honestly, I couldn't believe it. But, I mean, did you think, in your kind of back-to-back promotions, did you think that was possible at the start of the season? Or is that just, it's been a bit of a kind of crazy ride for you over the last sort of 18, 24 months?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you've seen clubs do it in the past, like Burton Albion did it a few seasons back. And, you know, I think everyone knew it was possible. We didn't think it was going to happen this year. Most fans, if you ask any Luton fan, they go, we would have been happy with top half this season and maybe like a late push for the playoffs. So just to be in this position, I think every Luton fan is just loving it and just enjoying the journey, really.
Yeah, and obviously with Mick Harford coming in for Nathan Jones, I mean, has Mick Harford done a lot by doing nothing, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah, he definitely has. By just literally keeping things as they were and just adding that extra motivation they need every week. And I think some fans would even say that we've looked better under Harford, but I think that's just the players, the togetherness of the team. They want to improve every week, and they're so close now, it'd be silly to, you know, take their foot off the gas or not put that effort in to, you know, secure the promotion, really.
I trust you guys have sold out your ticket allocation for Saturday, so it'll be quite a raucous occasion.
I think we could have done another 2,000 if we were given the chance. The demand for tickets has been mad. I think literally sold out the rest of the season. It's impossible to get a ticket at the moment.
I actually heard, Luke, that the match is being beamed back live to Kenilworth Road. Is it the Eric Morecambe Lounge? Is that right?
It is. Yeah, there'll be, I'm sure there'll be a few hundred in there that night.
Out of the four of us here, possibly myself and Martin will remember Morecambe and Wise.
Yes, I remember.
Thank you very much.
Johnny and I will just stay quiet.
I'm just nodding, mate. I actually fell asleep for a moment there.
Was this what you did on your day off, Paul? The research you did?
Yes. Research.
Watching Stan and Ollie on loop.
That, you know, it's all part of my research. But anyway, what's impressed me, I watched the Luton-Coventry game a few weeks back, Luke. And, I mean, you were playing the Diamond that day, and John Moncur was one of the instigators. I've noticed that he sort of... Sorry?
George Moncur.
Yeah. I'm thinking of his old man,
his
aren't
dad,
I?
His yeah.
I've noticed that he's sort of dropped out of proceedings a little bit. Are you still playing the Diamond system and using these fantastic fullbacks that you've got in Stacey and Justin?
Yeah, you'd expect to see Luton do the Diamond again at the weekend. And that's the thing with George Moncur. I think he was unlucky to be dropped out of the team for a couple of weeks, but he came in again last weekend and did a proper good job, nearly scored the winner in the 94th minute or something. So that's what I was saying earlier about just the strength and depth of Luton at the moment. When you've got people like Jason Cummins who are sitting on the bench and not getting in the team, and George Moncur, it really shows just how much strength we have, actually. So, yeah, expect to see that Diamond and Jack Stacey and James Justin bombing down the wings of the weekend. That'd be great.
Yeah,
Luke, who's the biggest danger man for Luton going forward? Who should that Charlton defence be most worried about?
I'm going to say Jack Stacey, our right back, honestly. I think he's one of the best fullbacks outside the Premier League. West Brom wanted him last year. He's assisted like 14 goals this season, 7 of them for Collins. He's scored a few. He's honestly, just keep an eye out for him. He's great.
Yeah, I've actually heard. Has he been put up for EFL Player of the Season or something like that, Luke?
Yeah, I think he was in the League One Team of the Season. I think he missed out on the overall EFL one, but he got in the League One Team of the Season, yeah.
Yeah, because I think in March, I mean, he made 4 assists. Bearing in mind he's a right back, and he scored a couple of goals as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's just lethal. Linking up with Shinny, who's our more of a central midfielder, them two just have this weird partnership. They always seem to find each other. They know what each other like to do. And it's just a duo which just works so well.
And, I mean, looking at it from a Charlton point of view, the area I'm thinking where we might have some hope with you is that if we can just get in behind your back four, and if we can just wear you down. I mean, I think it could be the Battle of the Diamonds. We could call it the Diamond Derby. I just thought that Sonny Bradley and Matt Pearson, I'm just sort of trying to look at little chinks in your team here. But on a bad day, we might be able to catch you out.
Yeah, I think the goal at Bristol Rovers we conceded was largely down to Sonny Bradley's lack of pace. And I think if Charlton have got Lyle Taylor up front, if they can exploit that slowness in our centre-halves, maybe, that could be an opening. But it hasn't been too much of a problem this season. But I think that's something you could potentially be worried about as a Luton fan.
Because I think it's going to be an explosive match on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I think both teams will be going for it, and I think it'll be
really good atmosphere.
It's
going to be a ding-dong
atmosphere and everything. It's going to be a quality day out.
Yeah.
Luke, a quality day out, but there will be a game of football in the mix, and I'm afraid I've got to put you on the spot for a score prediction, mate. How do you think it's going to go?
It's going to be a tight game. I do see goals, so I'll go for a 1-1, and I think we'd take a draw.
1-1. He's realistic. He's reasonable. He's willing to share the points. Luke, lovely to speak to you. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Luke.
Luke Gregory there, who is a Luton fan, giving us the Luton view of the fixture. We've heard how they're approaching it, but how should Charlton approach the league leaders? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and Chelsea have finally broken the deadlock away at Slavia Prague. It's Chelsea 1, Prague 0. Marcus Alonso on the score sheet. An update for you from the Masters as well. It's Harding, Scott, Rahm and Keziah up at the top of that leaderboard. They're all 3 under. Only Keziah still playing, and he is 17 through. Other big names for you. Tiger Woods is 2 under. He's finished. Phil Mickelson, he's 2 under as well. Poulter, 1 under, but he's only 12 through. And of course, Rory McIlroy, absolute brain freeze. Rory McIlroy not had the round he would have hoped for, but still very much in it. We, of course, love your calls into the show here on Love Sport Radio. That number is 0208 70 2558. And we've got a call into the show from Ahmed in Dartford. Evening, Ahmed. Thanks ever so much for your call. Do you think promotion is a realistic target for the Addicts?
It's a possibility. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody.
Good evening.
It's a possibility, but I think it's a bit of a long shot because basically we're going to run out of games and we're relying on our rivals dropping points, which you can't always guarantee. I mean, they've got the points on the board and that's always a good position to be in.
Well, they have, but I mean, if we can keep winning and putting the pressure on, then that in turn makes them, you know, a bit jittery, you know. I mean, yeah, it is. It is all heart and head syndrome here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, I agree.
And do you see us winning the next 5, Ahmed? Can you see that?
I can see us going unbeaten throughout the season, but yep. I just think that won't be enough because I think not only have we got to win all our games, you've got to rely on all our rivals who are above us dropping points every week. And we're running out of games basically, unfortunately. Yeah.
And Ahmed, I don't know.
My view of the whole thing is it's such a shame that if we hadn't had all those dreadful injuries in the first 10-15 games of the season, we would be right up there in the mix now.
No, I agree, and I think as well, many people would point into the Sunderland game on the opening day of the season, that last minute winner, that could have I don't know if you went to either the Plymouth or the Wickham game, but I know that
I was at the Wickham game.
You were at the Wickham game. There was a bit of a debate at the moment. Pearce obviously came back in quite rightly given Akinfenwa's physical presence. Where do you stand on the Saar Pearce debate, Armin?
I think as far as Saar was unlucky to lose his place because he's been playing really well, but Pearce is our captain, he's our leader, and as Libo said, that was exactly the right sort of game for him. And he's done it before. He's won games on his own before with headed goals, and this was a fantastic volley he did. He showed a real bit of quality of skill to do that. It was an absolutely excellent play. So I always think once Pearce was fit, he would always come straight back in.
But it's a strange one, isn't it, Ahmed? Because, you know, it was only a few weeks back that we're talking in terms of Naby Saar being player of the year, and now he could be dropped to the bench for the rest of the duration.
Well, that wouldn't necessarily mean he wouldn't get player of the year, though, would it?
I guess not, but it doesn't help, does it?
Well, it depends on if you take what view you take. I'm just saying I could still vote for him for player of the year even if he wasn't actually playing in the first team. So, you know, I mean, he's been a revelation along with a few other players. Mm. And there's not that many players contending this year either, to be fair.
No, and quick one, Ahmed, how do you see Saturday going?
I'm hoping, well, my heart says win and my head says as long as we don't lose.
Fair enough.
Your head likes longer answers than your heart, Ahmed.
I very much so. I think he's going to be 2-1 to Charlton.
Oh, he's a good confident man. Good man, Ahmed. Thanks, lovely to speak to you as ever. Ahmed there calling in from Dartford. If you'd like to do the same, that number is 0208 70 2558. And we've turned our attentions back to Luton. Of course, Ahmed's a confident guy. Are we feeling similarly so? First of all, how should Bowyer approach this game? Surely it's a case of 2 wins on the spin. If it ain't broke...
Yes, I think if you just look back at some of our other games against some of the top teams, remember when Barnsley came down in October, we were a little bit in fear, weren't we? Barnsley are on a fantastic run. So I'm sure in this game, we've got 2 great footballing sides. Luton have got plenty of flair and freedom. So I think Lee will impose our game on them. Yeah. But you know, let's not get it wrong. Luton are a dangerous side, yeah. And the transition in play. What I'm worried about, we could have the ball, be on the tack, and if they get that ball off us, they can turn it very, very quickly and get players in the box.
Going on that Barnsley game, our intensity that day was incredible, wasn't it? So yeah. that is what we're going to be like again on Saturday. I think we're going to start off like a steam train. It'd be interesting to see what he does with the defence. I personally think he might bring Sarr back in because of his footballing ability.
I think so, yeah. Yes.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think personally I'm looking at it in the same way we started against Barnsley. Sunderland, I thought we were very good against at home, and also yeah. Portsmouth. And I think we're going to have a similar level of intensity to those three games. And I also think players like Aribo really step up in these games. Oh, he steps up against Paul. I know that was yeah. live on TV in front of the cameras, but I think he's a big game player. Taylor's a big game player. I can see, depending, I mean, will Billick fit, hopefully. I think we need him back in. I think he's an important player. I think we do need him back in.
And Igor's got to be due a goal soon, you know, one at the Valley.
I like the way we're talking about us and we're not really concerning ourselves about the dangers of Luton. This is really good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But aren't Charlton in a privileged enough position to do that?
Absolutely,
Paul?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not knocking it.
I mean, as you said earlier, we are top of the form at the moment. You know, yeah. 1-6, drawn 4 out of the last 10, so...
No, yeah. I mean, the dangers we discussed with Luke, the Luton fan there, was their two fullbacks. But the upside of that is that they advanced so far up that there will be space behind. And I'm thinking Johnny Williams, the way he got that yeah. goal against Plymouth, there could be a chance for to exploit in the situation.
Mick Harford's obviously no mug. He's been around the game for a long time. So he knows that he can't have them bombing on all the time the way that we attack as well. So they've got to be a bit, you know, they've got to be a little bit, sort of like hold back a little bit sort of thing, because otherwise we can damage them ourselves.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, I'm not taking Luton lightly in any way, shape, because they are a top team. But I just think the buzz I think I got off the back of the final whistle against Plymouth, and you guys saw it on Tuesday at Wickham, I think the club are really, the players are really, really pumped for it.
Look at the fans at Wickham. They're a fantastic away support. We've sold out Oxford, we've sold out Gillingham. Hopefully there'll be a lot more home fans on Saturday, and the buzz about the place is different class.
And as Lyle Taylor touched upon it last week when he was on the show, I mean, basically the mentality down there is it's just winners. We're winners.
Yeah.
And Lyle Taylor, it's games like this that you work to and you just want to perform.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, talking about winners, I think that winning mentality comes from Lee Bowyer, personally. Him and Jacko, they've... Yeah. The defensive... Am I right in understanding that I think Jacko does a lot of work on the defensive stuff? So I think that's why we've only conceded something like 8 goals in 2019. So personally, for me, a big talking point is really, really want the club to not mess Bowyer around and give him a decent contract. I mean, he's won 30 out of, I think, the 60 games he's managed.
Yeah. Tremendous.
Got a massively high percentage win 55%.
Rate. 55%.
It's his first gig as a manager. He's done superbly. And I just hope that... We're not going to muck him around. He deserves that contract and go from there, yeah.
Reading between the lines of what Bowyer said earlier today, it sounds a bit like the club are mucking him around,
yes.
Right? So he said that these talks he's had with De Turk are positive. He said it was a good, positive conversation. He said he wants myself and my staff to say, and I said likewise. So it was a positive conversation. But Bowyer's other line is, they know what I expect, so I'm sure we'll get there. It may take a bit of time. It's taken this long, so a couple more weeks won't hurt. To me, that sounds like Lee Bowyer's been really open and honest, yep. as we know he is, and has gone to the club and said, listen, this is how much I want. This is how much I want my staff to be on. That's it.
Well, the thing is, when he came out the other week, he said, last week, it was, my contract's incentivised. How can they incentivise a contract with a bloke when he's had no money to spend, so they can't say, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, but we're going to give you a penny to spend.
I mean, the whole...
It's ridiculous.
The whole press conference today is probably just a window into the shambles behind the club in terms of the ownership. You know, most clubs where you've got manager for the first season's taking them to fifth in League One, on the cusp of promotion, really good team spirit, done it against the backdrop of all that uncertainty going on, most clubs would be ripping their arms off to get him signed up as a manager and a good long-term deal as well.
Yeah, bang on, Rob. Yeah.
Absolute insanity to let him go, because also you've got the situation with Joe Aribo where his contract could be running up. Players like him are so, so much more likely to sign a new deal at the Valley if they know that the boss who's getting them playing good football, keeping them up the top end of the table, as you say, Mark, on a shoestring budget, if he's still there, Aribo is, what, 2-3 times more likely to stick
Without
around?
Without a doubt. I've been saying this for months. You know, we've got to get Bowyer signed up, and then the players will think, oh, well, Bowyer's signed up, I'll sign, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Bowyer's the catalyst, isn't he? I think if Bowyer stays, then, you know, they'll all be willing to sort of stay on because they just love playing under him.
We can't forget the job, obviously, not just Bowyer, Jacko Andy
well.
Marshall. You know, Andy Marshall was on with James Gray the other day and he was saying, you know...
Exactly.
We haven't had a decision to make because he's not been offered anything, you know, and he sounds like he's desperate to stay. It's just...
I mean, I think it was Love Sports' own James Gray who named them the Dream Team, the three of
them. That's right, he did, yeah.
Yeah, it's great, great name. So, you know, Lee Bowyer, Jacko and Andy Marshall.
Bowyer's Angels.
Exactly. and Steve Gallen, you know, don't forget Steve.
Stevie Gallen, he's
so
top boy.
The four of them are just producing miracles. And
yeah, Jacko especially, he's been with the club through thick and thin. You know, he was there when we went up with Powell. Yeah. It was such good memories for him. He's been such a loyal servant. You know, you want those... players, managers, to be rewarded for their loyalty. You know, they've shown us loyalty. You know, we should be showing them loyalty as well.
Without a doubt.
But the trouble is that does Roland understand all this?
He doesn't know the
mechanics and the dynamics of the club. This is the problem.
Well, come on, he only gives 2% of his time to the club after
all.
Oh, yes,
I forgot.
2% of his time and hires a 19-year-old as chief scout. That follows Football Manager and puts transfer suggestions in.
Followed our SC7 Twitter page the other day, Thomas Streeton.
So
I thought I might ask him to come on.
I might have to challenge him on Football Manager, see if he's really that good.
I'll tell you what, don't say that to Roland. He'll put you in charge.
I'd like that. I reckon I could find a few gems for him in the depths of Belgium Division 8.
Yes.
There have got to be a few.
Thomas, if you're listening, who have you got lined up for us this summer?
And are they real? Are they real players? Because some of the guys in Football Manager don't actually exist. Make sure that you're doing your research thoroughly. Not just Bowyer, who's not been offered a new deal, of course. We were talking to Jake Forster-Caskey earlier in the show. He was saying he's not got a decision to make either. Would you guys like to see him have something on the table?
Well, I mean, look at our midfield as it is now. Add Jake Forster-Caskey into that, and that's like, whoa. Wow, of course. I mean, I'd love to have him in.
Yeah, I think we've got to bear in mind, we've got the likes of Billick and Cullen on loan, but we discussed it on the show before. If we can get promoted, maybe the likes of Billick, possibly Cullen, could rejoin us for next season. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see them playing League One football again next season. No, they're both
definitely.
Too good for that.
Billick and, definitely
won't. Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's across the whole squad, though. I think Reeves is out of contract as well. I think there's a lot of players there. That I think Vetekele, I believe, is out of contract. Mm. So it's a bit of a mess, really, given where we are and how well we're doing, that we're in that situation.
So can I put the question to you guys? I mean, if we didn't get promoted, but a reasonable deal was offered to Lee Bowyer, do you think Lee would stay as a League One manager with us on the short term?
No.
You don't?
No. Not under Roland, no.
I don't know. If there were assurances around investment, but if not, I don't know.
I mean, he would be poached anyway, wouldn't he? Because of his stock that he's with two... playoffs at the very least for a rookie manager. I mean, he's done phenomenally well, and his percentage win rate is
look who's
is
coming
brilliant.
Down. Ipswich are coming down. Why wouldn't they try and nick him?
That's a very good point. He'll be a man in demand. A quick final update for you full time in these Europa League games. Arsenal take a commanding 2-0 lead away to Naples. Benfica beat the 10 men of Eintracht Frankfurt 4-2. Slavia Prague, Chelsea eventually got that crucial away goal, a 1-0 win there. And Valencia went goal mad in stoppage time. It was 1-0 all game. Then Daniel Vaz in the 91st and Gonzalo Guedes got his second of the game in the 93rd. 3-1 Valencia away from home, a commanding position. But our attention is, of course, mainly on Charlton versus Luton. And it's that time in the show where I have to put you guys on the spot. What are we saying for a score prediction?
2-0 to Charlton.
2-0 goes Robert. What are you saying, Martin?
I fancy goals on Saturday. I'm going to go for 3-2 to Charlton.
Confidence again. And Paul, are you going to ruin it?
No, not at all. I'm going to keep it in the family and agree with my nephew. 2-0.
2-0. Lovely. It's been a family-focused, football-focused Charlton fan show. And remember, there is a correct way to eat a scone.
Well, there may well be. I think it's cream first.
Absolutely. You're bang on.
One final plug, the Upbeats are doing their walk on Saturday, Charlton Athletic Community Trust for our team Upbeats. So if anyone can just jump on the Just Giving page there and give what you can for that. That'd be most appreciated.
Wonderful thing to do. I was talking to Paul Mortimer earlier, and I think he'll be coming along.
Yep.
Former Charlton player and one of Love Sport's very own. So if you can come along with that, go and join in. And of course, join us next week on the Charlton Fan Show, where we'll be celebrating a mighty win.